1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. Paul writes to Timothy, saying, "If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed, but reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach." The phrase, exercise yourself toward godliness, is something I believe that we can all take a closer look at tonight. When we hear that word exercise, immediately we want to shut our minds off. You know, I want to lose weight, but I want to do it the easy way. I want these wonder pills. I want these things that people say will do it just like that, doing all the work for you, and hardly any or no work at all from yourself. But that's not the way things work. It seems like with every gimmick, every nutritional thing that comes out, you can read books or articles by doctors, but everything that is said also has fine print with the right amount of exercise. Things don't always work by themselves. It takes others to do their part. So how can we do our part tonight? Well, first of all, in verse 7, Paul says to reject profane and old wives' fables. Do we ever hear things that sound intriguing, begin to believe them, but only to find out they're not completely true? We don't thoroughly investigate it. Sometimes we make assumption based upon what we think are facts, only to find out we have no facts at all. This can cause many people to lose their spiritual souls. We're told in Ephesians chapter 4, there in verse 14, Paul says, "We should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ." If we're going to grow up in all things, we need the truth. And the truth comes from Christ Jesus. So when we reject what is wrong, and we begin to exercise ourselves into godliness, we find out what is true. And finding out what is true takes study, and it also takes practice. We're told in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul later explained to him that he needs to be diligent, or show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but can rightly divide the word of truth. Study to show himself approved unto God, learning what is right. And once we have it in our minds, then we exercise it. That's why James said in chapter 1 and verse 22, we need to be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. So to exercise godliness, we learn what it is, and then we put it into practice. And then if you notice, there in verse 8, he talks about physical versus spiritual practice. That bodily exercise indeed profits a little. I know there's a lot of us that used to, and perhaps even still do, a lot of exercise, whether it be riding our bicycles or walking around the block or jogging or perhaps doing a certain routine before we come to worship on Wednesday or on Sunday or throughout the rest of the time. And we know that it does a body good. It can keep us in pretty good shape. But this is very little compared to what spiritual exercise can do. Notice he says that godliness is profitable for all things. Not just a few, but in all things. Remember what Paul would later tell Timothy in chapter 6 of the same letter in verse 6? He says that godliness with contentment is great gain. It is great gain. You think we've got it good now, we just wait. Wait until we inherit that eternal home, the place of heaven that does not fade away, the place that we can have everlasting life, forever be with God and with His family, provided we've done those things that He has called us to do. And therefore, we must do those things that He has called us to do. He says in verse 9, it is a faithful saying, but is worthy of all acceptance. If we accept who God is, what He has done for us, we realize that we must accept there is something we must do for Him. And there in verse 10, He tells us exactly what we must do. He says, to this end we both labor and suffer reproach. Just as getting healthy is not easy, it takes a lot of hard work. If we're going to do what God tells us to do, it's not always going to be easy. There is a lot of hard work that we must all do. He says we must even have to suffer reproach. Yes, other writers of the New Testament teach us that those who live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We're going to have to go through that bump in the road. And sometimes, as the saying goes, sometimes things have to get worse before they get better. But isn't it all worth it? If we endure all these things, we know, Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to those that are called according to His purpose. If we truly love Him, we will do whatever He wants us to do. Sometimes it might be that we have a lack of motivation. I know what I should do, but I just can't seem to get myself to do it. I know there are things I shouldn't do, but sure it's hard to stay away from them, as we talked about a little while ago. But if we need to look to that one person that can motivate us, I think Paul described him very well here in verse 10. He says, we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially in those who believe. Do we truly believe in the living God, knowing He always was, is, and always will be, has been there time and time again for His people? He is the Savior of us all. After all, did He not send His only begotten Son to die upon the cross, to shed His sinless blood that our sins can be washed away, and also that His Son was able to be raised again to give us all the hope of everlasting life? That motivates me, knowing in the power of the gospel to save my eternal soul. And if I am motivated and truly believe in what God has done for me, I'm going to do something to Him. And that's why, as Paul concluded with their text here in verse 11, he says, these things command and teach. Encourage others to do the same, but also do them yourselves. How can we command others? How can we teach others? Well, at least in two ways. Not only by what we say, using the right words, the words of truth and reason that we get from the Word of God, but also by the lives that we live, by living godly lives as we are supposed to exercise ourselves unto. This evening we're just about to sing a song of encouragement. And if there be one tonight that says, you know, I need to do this very thing, I want to help others get to heaven as I myself am trying to get there, we want to encourage you in any way possible. So if you need to respond, won't you do so as together we stand and sing.